Thank you so much for coming on. It is such a pleasure. Thank you, Ms. Mitsoumiakis. I'm so honored to have you come on, and I know you're busy. So we're gonna get started right away because you're a very busy lady.
Great. Well, I'm glad to be here. You know, it's and nice I have- to take a break from writing to just, you know, talk and communicate with somebody else.
And I apologize for the wrong time because I was all screwed up. I'm like, okay, sometimes time zones are confusing. So,
I agree.
So let's get started. So can you share your creative process when you develop documentaries? Is there a creative process that you go through when you do this?
Well, you know, first I have to really, an idea has to come to me, or really what it is a story that I want a question answered, and it has to obsess me. And then once I start doing just a little research to see if I have enough material to create a documentary, then I just go. Basically, it's, you know, getting my team and figuring out who I have to interview and what kind of footage I need to create this story.
Oh, that's really interesting. You often share light on the lives of extraordinary women from history. How do you select and who do you choose for your documentaries and books?
You know, I think they choose me. Again, it's something that I'll find a story or a woman or an era that absolutely obsesses me. And I think this is so interesting. Why hasn't it really been explored? And that's really kind of it. It's like, well, I'm going to dive into this and I'm going to look behind the headlines or the labels that we especially label women of either strippers or they worked in the circus or whatever words we use to dismiss women and their choices. And I really just want to know who these people were.
How did you get so involved in the history of that? How did you get involved with that?
You know, I've always been interested in history. I love reading history. I love biographies and memoirs. But I, you know, as an actor, I was doing a one-woman show, and my character was sort of based on Gypsy Rose Lee and Mae West and burlesque. And then I realized I'm using this word, and I don't even really know what it means. I don't know what burlesque means. As I started to research it, I could find a lot of stuff about the men that were in burlesque. But I couldn't really find anything about the women beyond their stage name, what their act was, and when they performed. And I thought, well, you know, especially 20s, 30s, 40s, for women to get up on the stage and take off any amount of clothing, and back then it was very little, you know, where did they come from? You know, how did this happen? What did their family think? What happened to them when they got older and went on? And those are the kind of questions that, you know, obsessed me about that one. And you know, for my second documentary about Siamese twins that were really famous in their day, I just wanted to go beyond what I could find, which was they were freaks. They were Siamese twins. You know, who were they? You know, they can't just be this label. They had to have dreams and hopes like everybody else. And what happened to them in their lives? And it's just really answering those questions that makes me interested in these women in particular, especially I tend to highlight women that were very famous in their day, very misunderstood, marginalized, that we don't know of today. And bringing back to say that, you know, these were really incredible women and what they did.
And your work is so important because otherwise we'd forget about them. And that's very important. That is. It's so important.
I hate that. I hate that thought too, you know, that it's like, you know, if I hadn't done my burlesque documentary, they're, you know, except for maybe two people, they're all dead. They're all gone. We would have never heard their stories.
Oh, that's really interesting. So congratulations on your TED Talk.
Oh, thank you.
Focused on immortalizing the forgotten women through storytelling. How do you believe storytelling can empower and inspire future generations?
Well, I always think that knowing what somebody went through before, especially maybe in an era where it was harder because of society or less choices for women, that some of these choices that these women made that were bold and they were different can inspire everybody in their everyday lives to maybe reach a little further than they think that they can for something that they want. And why shouldn't they go for what they want and try to achieve it because other people went ahead of them? I think that's very important.
Wow, that's incredible. And in that era, it probably was harder for women to do a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, they just weren't even given the options. There was just very few choices. You know, so a lot of times we look down at women, oh, they only did this. Well, that was the choice that they were given. You know, burlesque in particular, a lot of these women wanted to be stars, but it didn't happen to them. They didn't become actors, but they could be stars on the stage and they could work, you know, 52 weeks out of the year and support themselves and family and travel. And like my new documentary that will be streaming April 12th, it's called Grand Horizontals. It's about courtesans during the Second Empire. And definitely this era, women were given very few choices. If you weren't born to a certain economic, social strata, you weren't getting out of that. So I think to look at these women who made a choice to be a courtesan, it's just to understand the history and what was around them, to not, you know, we don't have to condone their choices, but we also don't need to condemn them.
Ah, very well said. So you kind of answered my next question, but do you have any other upcoming projects that you can talk about? I mean, I know you have that coming up, but do you have any other?
Yeah. I'm finishing up a little web series that I wrote and directed. I don't know. I'll take that to festivals. So that's a ways off. And then I'm writing on a couple of books that I hope to get done soon that I can really, really make some strong pitches for agents and publishers.
Wow. Well, you have a lot going on.
Always. I try to.
Very, very busy. How impressive. So congratulations again. You received the Ellis Island Medal. What an honor that must have been. How do you feel your work has contributed to reshaping the narrative surrounding marginalized women in history?
Well, I just hope it helps people to look at, you know, women in particular, but people with a little less judgment without knowing their history or the history of the times, and not, you know, not being so quick to condemn them. Instead of just think, wow, what a life, and finding the beauty in it.
Well, very well said. So is there a historical figure in your research that you believe deserves more recognition, and why?
Oh gosh, there's so many. And I'm, you know, this is why I write. This is why I make films. There's many that I want to highlight. You know, and every day there's an author coming out with a book about some woman who wasn't recognized in her day, but really contributed to history and society. And there's just so many of these stories. So nothing in particular that I'm want to say yet, but yes, there's so many stories. So I hope to get to as many of them as I can.
Have you ever faced resistance or pushback from individuals or organizations while working on your projects? And if so, how did you navigate through those challenges?
No, I don't think when I When I started my documentary on Mabel Stark, who was ostensibly the world's first female tiger trainer, and I started reaching out. Yeah, her story is pretty incredible. When I started reaching out to people who had either been in the circus or were currently in the circus, they were very hesitant to talk to me, which I couldn't understand. So this would have been my third documentary. And I was like, well, look at my work, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they said that they had just been set up, that people really wanted to condemn the circus. So I had to build their trust is all. You know, I just said, you know, I'm not trying to get anybody. I just want this woman's story, which I think is really incredible. And again, I think it's just other people, when I would talk about the circus and a tiger trainer, they're like, oh, that's awful. They kept them caged. I was like, well, maybe see what her story is first. I mean, she lived for these tigers. She loved these tigers. She gave her life to these tigers. You know, it's easy to say, oh, they shouldn't be in cages, but look at the story first. Look at the time. Look at how important circus was for our country, in particular in small towns where they had no movie theaters, where they maybe didn't have a library, where pageants recreating historical events happened, and where you could see an exotic animal. I mean, they were really educational programs at the time.
Well, and like you said, look at the time, look at the era. That was a totally different mindset.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if someone's interested, and of course they would be, where can they watch? Why would they not be? Where would they watch the documentaries?
You know, most of them, they're on Amazon, they're on iTunes. If you go on my website, which is just Leslie Zemeckis, it'll say all the titles of them, or you could Google my name, you know, on Instagram, they're all listed, but they stream on all the normal platforms. So they're out there.
And when I upload your interview, I'll put the links so people can go watch them.
Great, great. I'm proud of them. And I love people to discover these women that they maybe probably knew nothing about.
So how long does it normally take you to get the information, to get it all together, to get your documentary together? How long does it normally take you?
You know, it really depends. My first one, I just said I was going to go interview everybody across America that I could find that was in burlesque. So that took a couple years.
Oh my God.
And then now a lot less. I mean, it's just faster. They're a little more focused because generally they're on one person or a smaller group. And I know what I'm doing so much more, and I'm kind of staying in the same kind of era and things that interest me. So I already have a lot of research in my background for it. So it's not, you know, it's a process. It's still probably a year from starting to really finishing it and getting it to a festival and getting it sold.
Very interesting. So if you could step into the shoes of any of your historical figures for a day, who would it be and why?
Well, it would depend on the time. I wouldn't mind being Mabel Stark for a day, but I'm not necessarily certain I want to be in a cage full of 12 tigers.
Oh my God.
Because she literally was completely scarred from head to toe.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, she was attacked numerous times, but she knew it wasn't, she knew the risks and she knew it wasn't the cat's fault. So maybe not her, you know, I don't know, maybe somebody like Blaze Starr, who was such a famous stripper and she loved what she did. I'm certainly not as gracious as she would have been on stage, and I probably would have tripped over my shoes or something, but. You know, I think the kind of entertainment that these women did and the appreciation would have been fun to experience.
And I'm sorry. And she had an awesome stage name. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Blaze Starr.
I mean, they're right there. You're a star. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. She knew it. She loved everything about what she did. She was amazing.
So how do you balance the need for historical accuracy with creative liberties required for storytelling in documentaries and your books?
Well, if it's nonfiction, I don't take creative liberties. I will maybe couch something in a way to say, if I don't know for certain, that she probably did this. But you know, I really like to be a stickler for the true information. And then people can use their imagination to, you know, possibly say, oh, maybe that's why she did this, or, you know, because we don't know anything 100%, but I try and be as accurate and factual as possible for nonfiction work. I think it's very important.
So you are a very, very busy person. So not only do you write, you do documentaries, you also act.
I do.
So what advice do you have for aspiring filmmakers and authors who want to create impactful work?
To start it, to go do it. Don't wait for anything. You know, most people have an iPhone. They can certainly start creating. You know, you can get a pen and a paper and you can start writing and build your community. Every artist needs their community of people to help them and that they help. Say, hey, let's go make this film. I mean, that's what I did with my first film. I grabbed a friend of mine in acting class and said, let's figure this out. Let's go do it. You know, it's not waiting for opportunity. It's creating opportunities because, you know, everybody will just tell you no.
Oh,
no, 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 no.
That's
so
true.
And then if you accept no, then that's, we don't have that art. We don't have that book. We don't have that film just because we were waiting for somebody to say yes. We just have to say yes to ourselves and what we believe in.
Well, well said. Well, well said. So you've been part of a lot of films. Do you have a favorite film that you were part of?
No. I mean, I really think that would be like picking, you know, which child I like better, which you don't. They're just different at different times, you know. I love Polar Express because it's a classic. I've got a couple of things that I've done recently that are challenging. I just, you know, everything's a great experience.
Fantastic. So is there a genre of movies that you haven't played yet that you are interested in maybe checking something different out?
Well, I really would love to do. Well, I actually have a small piece, so I've done it. Playing from the 1700s, but I think that would just be fantastic to dig into like a series of that and wear those clothes and the makeup. And I don't think I've done the 40s, which I'd also like.
Oh, see, you're putting it out there in the universe. It may happen.
I think it will. It should.
So of all the acting you have done, which character is most, do you think, like yourself?
Well, I guess there's a bit of all characters that are like yourself, or you tell yourself that they are so you can play them, you know. I don't know, they just all don't feel so far from me. I think you just try, and whether it's a murderer or whatever, it's like, what is that I can relate to?
Well, that's a very good point, because it kind of, you kind of like make it your own, make it,
yeah,
your, yeah.
Absolutely.
I get what you're saying. So what has been the most rewarding aspect of mentoring and inspiring female storytellers through Stories Matter?
Oh, God, that's just been the greatest thing ever. I just love seeing these girls thrive and grow and stay in touch and really get a sense of that they can do it, and to take away some of the mystery. I have a lot of, you know, best-selling authors of all genres, all types, come in and talk to the girls to see that there's no one way of doing anything. And I think just taking away that mystery allows them to go, I can do this, and this is how I'm going to do it. It doesn't have to be how anybody else does it.
Wow. Now you teach a class, a course?
It's usually a 6-week, workshop course. And then we work on an article. They have an 800-page article. And once it's worked on and it's really well-crafted, we submit it to Entity Magazine, which is a fabulous women organization, magazine, academy, and they print it. So they, at the end of the course, they become published authors.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I love it. So now, if anyone is interested, is that also on your website? So
it is. It's on my website. It's on my Instagram. It's called Stories Matter. We're about to start in a week, so they would have to be really quick with their applications. But yes, and I do it twice a year now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing. It's just fantastic.
Now, what is the best advice that you've ever received as being an author, actress? What is the best advice you've ever received?
To be bold, to not hold back. To really be bold.
That's good advice. Because it's got to be a hard business to get into.
Yeah, and that's why I also believe community is so important, that you talk to like-minded people that are going through the same things, that understand the challenges and the rejections, and they can celebrate your wins. It's very important to have community.
And you know what? And you're right. Celebrate your wins, because everybody wants to feel special. Everybody wants to feel special.
Yeah. And if you don't celebrate your wins, and it can be a little tiny win, but if you don't celebrate it, it's like it didn't happen, and you don't realize what you've done or what you accomplished. Even if it's you do a great scene in acting class, you have to acknowledge that.
I love that. So I'm going to ask you, I saw on social media that you have a pig.
I have two pigs.
Oh, two. How fantastic. What are their names?
Peanut and Pickles.
Love it.
they're little rescue pigs. And those animals are the most amazing things ever. They're so smart. You can train them. One, Peanut sits before eating. I make him sit. They are like dogs. They're smart.
Oh, my God. I love it.
They're hilarious.
So you said that they're rescue.
Yeah, they came from two different sanctuaries. Well, one actually was found walking down Hollywood Boulevard, had escaped a homeless encampment and was starving and tested positive for narcotics, and his skin was awful. Yeah, really horrifying. And now he's great. He's Peanut. And then we just rescued one from a sanctuary that they had rescued from a hoarding situation, and that was Pickles.
And how old are they?
Peanuts, we think was born September or October. We don't know. And Peanut, Pickles, sorry, I get them confused, all these P names. It was like a year, maybe a year and a half.
Wow.
And super, super sweet. They're so cuddly. It's just awesome.
Well, I thought I would ask about that because they're just so adorable.
They are adorable.
Bravo to you to having rescue a pig. Bravo.
Changing people's minds about eating them.
Hey, you're right. And I didn't I did not know that they were that intelligent.
They're really super intelligent. You can really train them a lot.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I did not.
But they're also so sweet. I never knew that about pigs. They're really, really sweet.
So you can train them like you would a dog?
They can walk, they can sit, they can do tricks.
I've learned something. I have now. I have learned something. Well, I appreciate that. And that is so, the pictures and the videos that you show, they're just adorable.
Yeah, they really are.
Do they each have their own little personality?
Yes. Pickle's more shy, but she's coming around. Peanut is just like a big love love. He just comes running up to you and wagging his tail and screeches if you don't come in there and pet him. You know, yeah, they're funny.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here. I'm so glad to have met you. Well, I mean, met you. I like to send out thank you cards for you taking time. And if you feel comfortable, I'd appreciate it. You can email me like an address you use or something. Because I like to send out thank you cards because you took time out of your day to come on here. And I appreciate it. And when this interview is uploaded, I'll put your social media links and your website on, and I will tag you in it also.
Great. Awesome. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for coming on. It was so nice
Absolutely.
Meeting you.
Thank you.
Have a happy Easter.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.